Open your Bibles, the book of Job, chapter 19, Job chapter 19, and we're going to look at, or these are famous verses that we're going to be looking at this morning, Job 19 and let's begin at verse 25. It says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. One of my favorite books of the Bible, stories of the Bible, of course, is the story of Job. He went through a time of, well, just tremendous trial. Hard to imagine all that he went through when you read Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. He lost seven sons and three daughters, if I remember right. Ten children. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's just hard to imagine in one day to have your children all. Have you ever had, can you imagine such a day as that? And that's what happened. Seven sons, three daughters. He lost all of his earthly finances. He was the richest man of the East, the book of Job says in chapter 1. No one had more money than he did, no more possessions than he did. So he had great riches. He had a large family, a lot of kids. He had all this. And in one day, every bit of these things come crashing down around him. I mean, he lost all of his cattle, he lost all of his sheep, all his financial wealth. It was gone in one day. As fast as it came, it was gone. I mean, it might have took him a long time to accumulate the wealth that he did, but it didn't take long for it to be gone from him. So just a tremendous trial. Next thing that happened to him, of course, in all of that, he responded to that trial by saying, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord hath gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That shows you the kind of man he was. He was such a godly man. Despite all the losses, he drew strength from his God and was able to continue on for a bit. The next thing that happened to him in chapter 2 is he lost his wealth. The Bible records that he had sores all over him. A lot of people think he had leprosy. We don't know whether he had leprosy or not. But as you study other texts in Job, he might have even smelled from it when you read. It was a horrible situation that he was in. Had sores from head to toe. When his friends come, three friends come to see him, they didn't realize who he was. It had changed his look so much. And the Bible says they did good in the beginning. It says they came, they wept, they sat down, and they said nothing. They did real good in the beginning, but they never got in trouble till they opened their mouth and started saying the reason why this happened. They didn't know the reason why it happened. What they assumed is that Job had sinned in some fashion that caused this great catastrophe to take place in his life. But it wasn't because that he sinned. So he lost his health. He lost his financial wealth. He still had his wife, but his wife grew strange to him. And don't be too hard on Mrs. Job. I mean, can you imagine being at the funeral of 10 of your children? That'd be a hard thing to take. So don't be too hard on her. She went through a very devastating time along with her husband. Well, the bright spot, and many times what people say is that Job lost everything. He did lose finances. He did lose his financial wealth, and he did lose his health to a certain extent too. But he still had salvation. And when you have salvation, you're still rich. That's the key to the whole thing. He didn't have no money. He and all the things that he lost his respect. A lot of people didn't respect him either anymore. He would have been respected as a rich man, but a lot of people, you know, would have been disrespectful to him. Even his friends misdiagnosed the situation, basically saying the reason these happen is because of your sin. Well, he never lost everything. So this message title is Job Was Still Rich. And the reason why he was rich is because that he was still saved. Now, notice what it says here in Job 19. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth. He says, and when talking about his God, he calls his God a what? Redeemer. That means that Job was what? He'd been redeemed. He had been set free from the bondage of his sin debt. He still had a heavenly home, didn't he? He still had a home in the Father's house. He still had victory over death. He had still had forgiveness of sins. He still had imputed righteousness. He still had God. So we often say that Job was poor. He was financially, earthly financially poor, but Job still had riches. And the greatest riches that they are in this world is the riches that comes with salvation. Paul said in the New Testament that he was poor, but he made many rich. How can a poor man make anybody rich? Well, Paul didn't have a lot of money, but he had a gospel message that he would share with people. And when they received that gospel, what did it make them? Made them rich. I mean, and that's though Job had lost all of these different things, he knew he was still what? Redeemed. You know, you can take everything you got. You can take everything, even your health, and you can take all these things away. But if you're born again, you're still what? You're still redeemed. And if you have redemption, then you're rich. Then you're rich. So that's what the Lord done. Notice what else now. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Just talk a little bit about this redemption. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Talk just a little bit about redemption. It says in verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, which is heaven itself, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. What kind of redemption? How long is eternal redemption? It ain't 6 weeks, is it? Eternal redemption, do y'all consider eternal redemption a great wealth, isn't it? Job lost wealth, financial wealth, lost his looks, covered with boils, sick. Many people would disrespect him because he lost everything he had, but he still had what again? Eternal redemption. That's what he had. And since he had eternal redemption, he was still rich. And you notice how he drawed strength from that. He never gave up on that. Even though when we read our text back in Job 19, he knowed that he still had redemption, and he drawed strength from it. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. So he knew he was still redeemed. Turn to Psalms 49. Psalms 49. Give you some verses about redemption. Psalms 49. Verse 15. Now Job knew also he'd eventually die. Most people probably thought that 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 disease he had would kill him. But he lived a good number of years after he went through this trial. But notice what it says here in Psalms 49, talking about redemption. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. God shall redeem my soul from the power of the grave. So Job still had eternal redemption, set free from his sin debt. He still had a heavenly home. And he also had future redemption too. Future redemption. Ephesians 4:30 says, we're sealed until the day of redemption. When is the day of redemption? What's the day Jesus comes? He sets us free from the confines of this. Jesus would come today. He would set us free from the confines of this old sin body, and he'll give us a new body. The day of redemption. Those who are with the Lord in heaven today, they will also receive a body. And that's why the day that Jesus has come, we're sealed until the day of redemption. We'll be set free one of these days, and we'll get a new body. We're set free from our sin debt, don't get me wrong. But right now we don't got all, we got great benefits coming. There's some of our benefit package we haven't got yet. New body's one of those things. Body never gets sick. Body that'll never age, body that'll never die. So Job knew. Job was still rich because he was still redeemed, and he knew that, and he drawed strength from it. Let's go back to the book of Job now. Back to the book of Job. Chapter 19. I think one of the reasons why the book of Job's in our Bible so we can draw strength from it. I figure everybody here this morning, one time or the other, went to Job before in order to have some strength. Compare what you're going through compared to what Job went through. I imagine everybody here has done that one time or the other. I think that's why it's in the book. You go looking at Job. Several years back, I done a sermon on this, and I think Job's a minister to the suffering saint. I think that's why this book is in the Bible. He's a minister to the suffering saint. We can go to this book and compare to Job, and we can see how God sustained him and how eventually God brought him out of it, and it's strengthening to us. I think that's why the book's in the Bible. Job is the minister to the suffering saint. Okay? So Job was still rich. He was still rich because he was what now? Redeemed. Anybody that's redeemed is rich. Someone that's not redeemed is not rich. Rich man and Lazarus is a good example of it. Lazarus didn't have nothing. Full of sores all over him. Probably stunk. Evidently didn't have no family because nobody was taking care of him. They laid him out in the street, basically, near this rich man's house. And it appears when you look at the story and the beginning that the rich man was the rich man, but the rich man was Lazarus because his riches didn't show up till after he died. Because after he died, he went to heaven. And the rich man went to hell because he never trusted Jesus. He had redemption. Job was still rich because he had redemption. Notice what else it says. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he will stand at latter day upon the earth. He knew there'd be a day that he would stand at latter day upon the earth. He believed in a coming resurrection, didn't he? The Old Testament saints believed in a resurrection. And though after the skin worms destroy this body, now I want you to listen to this, yet in the flesh I shall see God. So he still had a heavenly hope, didn't he? He knowed he was redeemed. He knowed one of these days he would have a redeemed body. He said, though the skin worms destroy this body, notice what he says, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He realized he was going to get a what kind of body? He realized he was going to get a new one. We're going to all get a new one. Aren't you glad we're going to get a new one? And the main reason I'd like to have a new body, of course, that body won't ache or hurt, or that body won't age. That body don't get sick. But the main thing is that body won't die, but the body won't have no sin in it. Won't have no sin in it. Let's turn to the book of Philippians. This come to mind. I hope it's the right text. I can quote it, I think. Keep your place back where you're at. So he knew he was redeemed. That's why he was rich. And the second thing he knew he'd see God in the flesh. He knew he would see God in the flesh. Philippians chapter 3. Let's notice verse 20. It says, for our conversation, the word conversation, you want to underline it, be good if you don't know what it means. The word conversation means here, citizenship. It's the meaning of the word of citizenship. Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to change our vile body. Hey, do you think your body's vile? Yes, and so do I. All of our bodies is vile. Though we're born again and though we've been redeemed, we still have bodies that are vile. I don't like how I think sometimes, and I don't like how I do sometimes. Do you? He shall change our vile body, and it'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So, he knew, let's go back to our text in Job. He knew he was redeemed. He knew he was redeemed. If you're redeemed, you're rich. Not only that, but he knew he would see God in the flesh. One of these days, he's going to see God. He knew that. He's going to see him. He's going to see him as Redeemer. Now, everybody's going to see God. But Job would see God as Redeemer. I will see God as Redeemer. If you're here tonight, this morning, and born again, you will see God as Redeemer. But those that have rejected him, or those who've never trusted the gospel, they'll see him as judge. And they'll give accounting for their sin. So the most important thing in the world is to be redeemed. Nothing is important. So we're going to see God. Isn't it a glorious thing to know that you're going to see God? He knew he was redeemed. He knew he would see God. Now number three, let's notice the next thing. He also knew not to curse God. Sometimes people can get in a bad way and say some, I'm just going to talk like I talk again. Sometimes people get in a bad way and say some pretty stupid things. Have you ever said anything stupid? I have. You're in a situation maybe like Job was, and, you know, and had, his children, were gone. Finances was gone. Earthly wealth was gone. Health was gone. All these things was gone. And what can happen sometimes is you make statements that you shouldn't make during those times. And what I liked about this is his wife came to him earlier in the book of Job. And you remember what she said? Curse God and die. Don't be too hard on her now. She just attended 10 funeral services. Curse God and what? Die. That's what she did. Well, he not only knew he was redeemed and knew he would see God in the flesh, but he also knew not to curse God. And you know, he never did. Now, when you get over in the book, he questioned God, but he never turned his back on his God. Never did it. And I think that's commendable. I think that's commendable, what he did. With all he'd been through, he never understood why it happened. And the way I study it now, where I've studied it over the years, God never did tell him why he did it. I mean, when something happens, I like to know why. God don't always tell you why. In situations when you don't know why, what do you do? What do? You can quit. Or you can complain. Or you can quarrel. Or you can blame God. Or you can do what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. I've done the leaning thing before. That don't work too good. That just makes you weaker. You just got to do what? You trust Him. And I trust Romans 8:28. I do. I believe it. Now, I don't always see how it works, but I just know it's true. And I throw everything under that. That's what we like to call trusting in God's sovereign hand. Well, he knew not to curse God. He knew not to curse him. Now let's turn to Job 42. Job chapter 42. The fourth thing he learned not to do, he knew to repent when God rebuked him. And what God does is he addresses Job with regard to his questioning of him. And what he would basically do is he'd say, Job, explain this creature over here. He pointed him to the creation. He said, explain why this does that and why. And Job said, well, I don't know what it does. It's basically showing Job that he didn't know everything. So don't question the one who knows everything. That's what he did. Well, Job knew to repent. And you see that in chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Have you ever ran your mouth about the Lord and you shouldn't have? Have you ever done it? That's why he says, therefore have I uttered that I understood not. He says things before. We say we say thing before we thought it, but you couldn't say it if you hadn't thought it. He uttered, but he understood not. Things too wonderful me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, I will speak, I will demand of thee and declare unto me. I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye hath seen thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Who said that? Job. He repented. God rebuked him. And then Job repented of it. He knew to repent when God rebuked him. Sometimes God gives you a good rebuke. Sometimes when we get into certain states of man, and we get into complaining states a good bit. We get in murmuring states a good bit. You ever murmur? Book of 1 Corinthians, I think it's 10:10, says, neither murmur ye. And he talks about the children of Israel that came up out of Egypt. And even when we read it, we get irritated. And look, every time they run into a hardship, they complain and murmur. But we murmur so much more because we're in so much better circumstances than they were. I wouldn't like to eat manna every day for 40 years. Man, if your wife fixed the same thing for dinner twice in a row, it's like a national offense. I mean, we babied a lot. So don't be too hard on them, but he rebuked them. And the children of Israel, one of the things they constantly did was murmur. And the book of 1 Corinthians warns that we are not to murmur. Job knew to repent when God rebuked him. Last of all, Job 42:7-10. Job knew to pray for his friends. These are five things that he knew. He knew to pray for his friends. Now, I'd have had a hard time doing that because they accused him of sinning. They misdiagnosed why this happened. God never told them why it happened. Other than the reason that I gave you, I think he's the minister to the suffering saint. But God was angry at his friends, three friends, because of the way they done him. They never comforted him. Did good in the beginning. Remember, they came, they wept, they sat down, they said nothing. That was perfect. They'd have stayed that way. They never got in trouble until they opened their what? They opened their mouth and said, basically accusing him of sin of why all of these things has happened. Well, God, anger waxed hot at them. And guess who had to pray for him? Y'all remember? Had to be Job. Let's read about him. Job chapter 42, verse 7. I'm going to quit with this. And it was so that after the Lord spoke these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against your two friends, for you've not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take you 7 bullocks, 7 rams, go to my servant Job, offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. My servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept. He wouldn't accept her prayer. Job had to pray for him. Now, I think one reason why that is, if someone does you wrong, if someone does you dirty, and you don't forgive them, guess what sinks in? Do y'all know? Bitterness. You get bitter. And that bitterness can take root in your mind and rob you of spiritual fruitfulness. There's people at home today because they got hurt in a church. Or if someone done something to them in a church or whatever, and I'm never going to church again. You need to forgive people. You'll never forgive more than you've been forgiven. You forgive folk. And when Job prayed for him, it says in the text, when Job prayed for him, look at this, and verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he did what? When he prayed. When he prayed for his friends. That's when he turned everything back. He restored everything back. Well, I hope that was a blessing. Job was still rich was the message title. He knew he was redeemed. He knew he'd see God in the flesh. He knew not to curse God. He knew to repent when God rebuked him, and he knew to pray for his friends. Job was still rich. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming this morning.